Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld, and each week on this program, I explore the shifting paradigm, the new possibilities that we are walking into as a human race and our evolution as conscious beings. And that brings me to tonight's guest, Dr. Meg Blackburn-Losey, and she's the author of many books, A Secret History of Consciousness, The Children of Now, which is about the crystalline children, indigo children, star kids, angels on earth. And she's also going to be appearing in the Berkshire Mountains, April 15th to the 17th at the Seven Hills Health Expo. That is a beautiful resort, the Seven Hills, and I think we'll have fun there with Patch Adams is going to be there along with Dr. Meg and a Maori shaman named Carrie Strongman. If you want to find out more about that, go to Seven Hills Health Expo. Seven, you spell out the word seven, and you'll find all the information there. So, Dr. Meg, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure. I'm really looking forward to being there.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a great gathering of like minds, and I think, you know, your work is really about shifting people, and I think we're going to have a group of people that are ready for that shift. So
that's exciting.
it really is exciting, because that's why I do this show, because there does seem to be something in the works, and I know you go to a lot of sacred sites, and you also talk to the children coming in. I mean, there's so many aspects of your work, but what we can talk about first and then we can get into the children is the idea that there's something happening to the field of awareness. It's like we're being primed for more subtle awakenings. Like there's more senses coming online, and your whole and your life story is sort of about that. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, you know, we're in an amazing time, Alan. We're in a time where the universal consciousness and the universal construct are shifting and aligning together in a way that hasn't happened in about 26,000 years. Mm-hmm. And we're in the highest period of light that there is, and all of the precessions of the planets, all of the astronomical alignments, multidimensionally, and on so many different levels, that what's happening is that we're starting to come into what I call our seventh sense. You know, the 2012 shift doesn't just happen in December of 2012. It started several years ago. And as it did, we started to, we're calling it awakening, but I prefer to call it remembering, because really and truly what's happening is we're coming back to our senses. We're coming back to a place of knowing in a greater way, with more surety, who we are and what we're capable of, and the fact that there are infinite possibilities available to us. And I'm excited. You know, a lot of people are afraid of what might happen in 2012. Well, you know, that's just is already in process. It's not a moment in time that everything's going to change. We're doing it. And everything that we do, every energy that we expend, every expression that we make, whether it's a thought, a word, an action, even a breath or a movement, sends a message out into creation, and creation reforms reality based on our own instructions. And those instructions are being heard more clearly now than ever. And so the possibilities of what we can create as an outcome for this shift, an outcome of this remembering, this awakening, if for our future and the future generations, is just unbelievable. You know, the possibilities that are available to us are endless.
Well,
so
I think it's
an exciting time to be alive.
Well, it is, and it's important that people like you are out there, and other people. I just did a weekend with Richard Bartlett, Matrix Energetics. Uh-huh. Do you know that work?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's all in your work, and lots of people like you are developing a sense of trusting our inner knowing that there's more to reality than what we've been told. And it's, in a way, it's individuals awakening. Because we've been in such a material world, it takes each person coming forward within themselves and saying, I know there is more, and I have these seven senses, or these higher senses, that tell me there's more. And so each person, though, has to make their own journey to that new place and then trust that that is a place. So you coming forward with your story and your teachings, it helps with the whole shift.
I hope so.
Well, it...
You know, it's all about our intent. It's not so much about the message, but how we deliver it, and what our intention is, what we mean in our communication to creation that says, "I want this reality," you know, and how we deliver that has everything to do with the outcome. And so, what I'm telling people now is, it's a time to really live intentionally, be what we intend. We're done creating ourselves. We're done reinventing ourselves. We're done healing ourselves. There was never anything to heal in the first place, except our perceptions.
Right.
You know, now is a time for action. Now is a time for being everything that we mean to be. No one can do that for us but us.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, and I think there's a whole level of consciousness of people waking up to that. And then there's other people, of course, who have no idea, but that's their choice.
Well, it's always going to be the case, isn't it?
I mean, there's
so many different levels of awareness and awakening or remembering, however you want to call it. You know, there's so many different aspects of awareness that it doesn't. It's not a comparative thing, as far as I'm concerned. It's about being who we are now, no matter what now looks like, because nothing ever happens outside of now. And if we can just do our very best and be intentional in every given now, we can't go wrong. We can't make any mistakes. There aren't any. You know, it's when we don't act at all and we sit around waiting for life to happen that we miss the boat.
Right. No, I totally agree, and we are waking up. But it also brings me to the point of your current work with children, in the sense, so we're paving the way for these new realities to unfold, and these new beings are coming in with already a developed sense that needs to be nurtured. Can you talk about that whole process of the children and the different levels that are coming in?
Sure. You know, here's the deal. We adults, the ones that we've been talking about for the last few minutes, we're what I call the bridge generation. We've come to the awareness that there's something else, there's more. Mm-hmm. And we've gone not only in search of it, but we've begun to live it and embody that, whatever that looks like for each of us. And as each of us has done that, we have literally opened the energetic doors for this new generation of children that's coming in. And it's multifaceted. I realized immediately years ago that they're not all indigos. You know, the term indigo was coined by a woman who had synesthesia, which I also have. And everybody who has it has a different set of differences.
But right. I have it too. I think everyone has it. It's just about recognizing. But anyway, yes. So she called them indigo. Yes.
So she coined the term indigo because what she realized was that specific group of children back in the 80s had indigo-colored energy fields. And that's where the term came from. And then later, several of us almost simultaneously coined the term crystalline children. There were about three of us that did that and without even knowing each other at the time. And that's because the children's energy field or different colors of light, different colors across the spectrum, and in different shades, which is why you have so many different names. But, you know, rainbow children, and there's so many different la-la names out there. I don't even want to get involved in that too much. But because the kids started getting labeled, and it really upset me because that wasn't the point. The point was to be able to communicate what was going on. You know, there were different types of kids. And So we have the crystalline.
Can you go into the different? I mean, is there a different? I mean, we don't have to talk about the label, but there, I guess, there's a difference between what was called the indigo and what's called the crystal.
Yeah.
And what would be the difference? And
I'll kind of give you a rundown. The indigo kids were the first ones that were really noticeably coming in mass, and what I mean in big groups of them. And they're what we call the paradigm busters. They're in their late 20s, early 30s now, and they're having babies of their own. But they're what we call the paradigm busters, and I say that because they would go to school, and someone would tell them the rules, and they would stand up and say, I'm sorry, but these rules are for your convenience, not for my well-being, and I'm not doing it. You know, that's the kind of things that an indigo kid would do. They were very artfully right brain oriented. They were kind of intuitive, kind of new things, but didn't really get into their gifts because it was all very new to society and most of us at the time. And then later, there was a kind of a gap of time where we kind of had what I call the transitional children, and they're the ones that came after the indigos that were deeply intuitive but didn't know what to do with it. There was no conversation about it in our society yet. There was nobody, very few people who could recognize that kind of giftedness or different kind of being in children. And so they got a lot of the transitionals became real low self-esteem. Many of them started into abusive behaviors like cutting themselves or drinking or drugs or in many cases even committing suicide. We saw a big rash of that for a while. And then some of them even acting out in society by hurting other people, sometimes largely. And
wait,
so,
was that another, that was a different frequency of children coming in that were
there was kind of a mixed set of energies. It wasn't indigo, it wasn't crystalline. It wasn't quite what it used to be. It was kind of a mixture, a chaotic set of energies, but not a bad set, just different. And then after that began to come the crystalline children in the late 90s. And the crystalline children are very society-oriented. They're very intuitive. They're natural healers. They understand energy. They're all about people and love. And they remember their past lives. They remember choosing their parents often. Often they would come, and still do, come to their parents before they're born and name themselves and introduce themselves and, you know, things like that. And at about the same time as they were coming in, a different group of kids, who many of us call the star children, a whole rash of those kids were coming in, and they're very earth-oriented. They have many of the gifts that the crystallines do, so there was a bit of confusion. But the main difference between the star kids with the star kids is, instead of being so socially oriented, they're often isolated, but they're extremely earth-oriented, and they're extremely technologically oriented. So we had this one beautiful aspect being born into society who was very right-brained, very socially aware, and then we have this other aspect coming into society that's very left-brained, and is going to be inventing things and technologies that are going to change our world forever. And so my feeling is when the two of those get together as they become adults, they're perfect. They're the perfect marriage of perceptions, you know. There are a couple other minor categories, but those are the
basics. You said there's more categories?
There's one I call angels on earth, and that's a much more minor category. These are young people and even a few adults that I've met who actually are aware of the fact that they have wings and they're etheric. They're not on a physical level, but they know it. And they're so highly sensitive. They don't know what to do with it. And often they go in a great search of it. One boy I knew had literally walked barefoot all over Europe and other parts of the world, trying to propagate the word of love. And I had another one who, they were so real for her. She had a set tattooed on her back so other people could see them as well. And I mean, these kids are so sensitive. They were just melting down by the time they got to me, by the time, you know, people heard of me and sent them to me. And I was able to help them through some of their sensitivities. They are a very smaller, much smaller group, not the norm, but very important. And then the other group that really threw me into all of this was the, what I call the beautiful silent ones. They're my favorite. And they don't speak. They've got something different about their physicality that, and every single one I met was different, but they're highly telepathic. And their presence just emits love. And the people that are around them actually do hear them telepathically. And
would they be called autistic by normal society?
No, that's all another ballgame.
Oh, okay. These are just silent children. They don't. They're just young.
Yeah, they have different physical anomalies. Like one of them had a peach-sized benign tumor in his brain. Another one had cerebral palsy. Another one had been put in the dirt by vaccines when she was 6 weeks old. And it goes on and on and on with all the different things. They're just differently abled. They use pure consciousness rather than physical aspects to communicate their messages in the world. And if you get to know any of these particular kids, it will change you indelibly.
What about the autistic kids? Are they just, I don't think they're really autistic. They also seem, I mean, of course, there's many types of, but on different levels of consciousness themselves.
Okay, well, here's the deal. We want to talk about consciousness. Let's talk about autism for a minute. Yeah. Here's the deal. The reason that there is such a wide spectrum, they call it, of autism, is that many, many children received vaccinations that had mercury, that had thallium, or other fillers that were conductive in some way. And by conductive, I mean, for instance, mercury has actually been explored because it's highly volatile, highly flammable, very powerful gas or liquid that has been explored for interstellar travel, for fuel. Okay, and we're injecting things like that into our children's bodies. Plus, it's in the environment, it's in the fish, it's, you know, it's everywhere. It's in the background of our environment in every day. Some places more so than others. Well, you take a conductive material and you inject it into a body, which is not simply physical and electrical, just the nervous system. What was not considered is the fact that the subtle energy system exists. It is a reality. It is measurable, and it becomes affected, and people have different anomalies from that. And I'm going to be talking about that at the expo in a couple of weekends. But so what happens is you take this material and you put it into a body of a young and budding subtle energy field. What happens? That field becomes expanded. It becomes amplified by the materials that are in the physical body. As that occurs, the subtle energy field is pushed away from the physical body. Well, the consciousness is also subtle energy. It's electromagnetic in nature. It's not bound to the body. It's faster than the speed of light. It's not limited by boundaries, by time or space. But it is seated in the body in a normal way when the soul comes into the body. Well, when the energy field is expanded, consciousness is pushed outward in a way that some of the grounded connection of that consciousness is lost. And because of that, that consciousness is not quite fully present in the third dimension. Mm-hmm. So, excuse me, I have a bit of a cold today.
I know. Okay.
So if you have an expansion of the subtle energy field and therefore the consciousness, it depends on what frequencies that child was to begin with, and each of us is unique as to how greatly they are affected. So depending on the frequencies, which run the gamut, the children are affected in different ways. That's why some of them don't seem very present at all, and others are very teachable. and just a bit affected, and it runs the gamut. It's quite a fascinating thing to look at. I've worked with a lot of autistic kids and worked on rebalancing their energy fields, and had some really good success with some and not so great with others, and I'm still learning about that myself. But it can make a difference, you know, when you rebalance the subtle energy field with the third dimensional body.
Uh-huh. So is it possible then to help these kids with some type of bringing their consciousness fully here? I mean, maybe it's not what you really deal with, but I'm just curious, how can we help those kids?
I believe it's completely possible. That it's in not only theoretically, but in actuality, the issue is to, you know, how many people can do this and do it purely so that the harmonics are what needs to happen is a harmonic bridge needs to be built between the affected consciousness and the physical body, so that there remains a connection even though it's been pushed outward. It's kind of it's not too complex, but it's hard for people to understand. I actually see these things, and that doesn't make me any more special than anyone else. It's just something that I'm able to understand because I can actually see what's going on, and not everybody can do that. So that's why I'm hesitating. Yes, it's absolutely possible. And yes, people can learn how to do this even if they don't see. But more people need to understand how it works before they ever start trying to adjust consciousness and bodies and things like that. It's not something you just jump in and start doing. You know, you have
right.
to have a basic understanding of it. So that's my hesitation.
No, I get that, and we can discuss more about that some other time. But if we get back to those children that you were naming before, the crystal, the indigo, all these new levels of consciousness that are arriving on the planet now, then what's happening is we're really building a new Earth to awaken. And so what does that look like when these kids start to kind of when the Earth starts to shift to their consciousness, what kind of societies will we have?
It's already happening by the fact that they're even being born like this.
Right.
So the shifting has already started. It's going to be a natural progression. It's not going to all of a sudden be the Earth shifts and the kids are conscious, you know. It's going to be more of a progression of them growing up and hopefully stepping into their gifts.
When they step into the gift, though, everything will, I mean, it's already changing, absolutely.
Yeah. So what I'm seeing is a perfect marriage between left and right-brained people. You've got the crystalline kids who are, I'll give you an example of some of the things they do. The crystalline kids are so socially oriented, they'll start food drives at school if they notice that everybody in the lunchroom doesn't have the same opportunity for food. You know, they'll start a protest across a country if one child in France saw he was 10 years old. He decided there were too many homeless people in his village, and he set up a red tent along the river there in his village in a manner of protest. Well, before he was done, it was December several years ago. There were thousands of red tents along the rivers all through France just because a 10-year-old boy made a statement. You know, my own granddaughter is one of these kids. She's just turned 12. And her aunt on the other side of the family is dying of pancreatic cancer. And she was appalled at the fact that it wasn't curable. There was nothing anybody could do except, you know, basically keep her comfortable. And she's started making bracelets, like friendship bracelets, woven out of yarn. And there was a story about her on the local news. Well, long story short, she ended up running a crew of 42 kids at age 10, 42 kids in the library of her school, making these bracelets and selling them $3 a piece to raise money for pancreatic cancer research. And they raised, I don't know how much money, and gave it to the pancreatic cancer, whoever does that research stuff. And, I mean, there's story after story after story. This is who the crystalline kids are. This is the kind of thing they'll do. Imagine what they'll do when they're in charge. And the best thing, by the way, that you can do with a crippling kid is put them in charge. Don't tell them what to do. Say, here's the job, figure it out. And they will do it admirably.
Yeah, I've met some of those kids. And, I mean, going back a little ways, I mean, some of us came in early in order to kind of pave the way for some of those later generations to now come in, take over, and change the planet. But so we have this new future coming, but then we also have the patterns of the good patterns, the ancient civilizations that you talk about a lot in your work, and you go to these sacred sites. They have another piece for us, right? The pyramids, the harmonics.
Oh, my God, the ancient people had it all together, and we don't realize that. We're thinking they're stupid Neanderthals, right? Well, there were times, look, my guys, everybody knows them as the masters, but I have this group of beings that works with me. It's a group consciousness, and they're brilliant, and they've taught me so much, and I talk about it in every one of my books in different ways. And in the very early time when they started working with me, they started teaching me about creation and consciousness and sacred geometry and healing and these light symbols and all kinds of things and how they interrelated and how everything was related. And it became a very full, I call it my cosmic college education. And they started telling me, you know, before 2012, you need to start going to these sites and you need to start weaving this energy around the planet. And everyone who comes with you will take that energy back to their origin. And I thought, what a cool concept. And so I started setting up these trips. Totally unaware of what was really going on. You know, that's how it often is. And I started to get to these sites, and I looked around, and very many of the things that the masters had shown me about the sacred spiral, the Fibonacci sequence, the pyramids, the spheres. I can't even think of everything right now. But I'm looking around, and there in 3D is everything standing in front of me, left by the ancients in stone. Or some other, you know, manner of medium. And I'm looking around and I'm like, wait a minute. This is what the master showed me, the pyramid, the four-sided pyramid, and almost all of them are, by the way. And the sites were set up and to mirror certain star constellations, which I have since to come find out that stargates exist in. And, I mean, the whole connection started to, like, one after the other, after the other, after the other, started to happen. And I started to realize that the ancients left us records all over the planet of who we are, where we come from, what we're capable of, how it's put together, how it all works, and why it works. And we're so busy being fascinated with these wonders of the world, so to speak, that we're missing the point. And so that was kind of the impetus behind my current book, which is The Secret History of Consciousness, a bestseller, by the way, as is The Children of Mao. And I started to explore the different sites, Teotihuacan in Mexico, all over Peru, there are different sites. I studied different places like Stonehenge. And I mean, it's all in the book. I don't need to go through all that.
No, it's all in the book. But a major thing in the book, you talk about the eight keys in that one chapter. Can you just go over that? Because those, I think, because we are...
I call it eight keys to our future survival, or to survive the shift, I guess it is.
Yeah.
It's how I originally wrote it, and then I think we shifted it from the book. The eight keys are really keys to help us stay balanced through all of this shifting and changing, because, pardon me, there are a lot of things happening multidimensionally that are affecting us energetically. Our perceptions are changing very quickly. We're getting way more information in our faces, in our ears, in our heads, in our energy fields than we ever used to. And there's a lot of things that can throw us off balance. And so the intention of the eight keys was to really help us become more self-aware so that we can easily glide through the shift while expanding in our own right. And if you want to talk about any of them in particular, that's great. I don't have them in front of me, and I apologize. Nope. I'm very prolific, and I don't remember the order they're written.
In general, people could pick up the book and talk about that, but I think where it's all going is towards the ascension cycle. I think we're moving into this. Our bodies, the physical structures of our bodies, is quickening as the light frequency changes.
Well, it is. And as our consciousness rises, our DNA responds. Our DNA begins to emit a greater and greater light field. And as we get into higher and higher levels of consciousness, our DNA is keeping up with that and recording it all. Our DNA remembers everything because it is also coded from our very source. And it's a fascinating, fascinating little entity inside of us, of which there are millions. And so the consciousness, as it expands, there are different levels of consciousness of you know, our everyday consciousness. We've measured in alpha, theta, delta, and gamma, beta waves. I don't think I missed one.
Oh, you talked about the gamma. Yes, right.
Yeah. And so there are different types of brain waves. They are actually measurable on an electroencephalogram. And the different types of brain waves happen in different types of behaviors. Like when we're deeply asleep, we have the delta waves. Or when we're going to sleep, I guess. When we're in our everyday stuff, we're in alpha waves. When we're meditating, we're more like in the theta waves. And the higher consciousness we get, the higher frequency the brain waves get. Well, there comes a point where we leap into what I call gamma state. And the gamma consciousness is actually the consciousness of ascension. There are three levels to it. The first level is what I call initiation. It happens at the back of the skull. And it's when we become aware, we start to see little shadows out the corner of our eyes. We might see colors. We might have flashes of pictures or little movies. We don't exactly know what it means, but we know what's happening. And that's when we start waking up. Or remembering, whichever way you want to look at it. And then it follows the curve of our head up to our crown to the next point, which I call the communion stage. And the communion stage is where we become multidimensionally aware. That's the gamma 2 state. We become multidimensionally aware. We are able to project our consciousness into other places, other times, other realities. And at the same time, we're also able to interact with beings from other realities, other mm-hmm. dimensions, like my guys. My guys are light beings. They've never had bodies. And the way that I became able to talk to them was to learn how to get into gamma consciousness. Mm-hmm. And then that comes all the way around to a spiral across the front of the brain, around the hypothalamus, the pituitary gland, and ultimately wraps tightly around the pineal gland, making, of course, a golden spiral, which is referred to in the Fibonacci sequence, which most people are familiar with, but it's a mathematic formula that portrays a spiral in form. And the inner points, the pineal gland, which medicine doesn't know a lot about, has to do with the ascension point. The ascension point is at the very center of our brain. And, at that point, we can literally turn to white light and disappear. We can take our bodies with us if we choose, because they become unified with our consciousness. And we can literally rejoin the light intentionally and feel and experience what it's like to be one with the one, and yet still have our own awareness, but yet no idea of any individual body. It's kind of like we're consciousness connected to all consciousness.
Well, that seems like what we're here to do. That seems our destiny as incarnational beings is to activate the ascension point and ignite the body, as Don Juan told Castaneda, to burn with a fire from within. And
exactly what happens, basically. But it's light. It's not literal fire. Right. And yes, we can learn to do that. I've done it many times. And I know other people that have done it, not too many, but that have. But here's the deal. When I got there, what I realized was that, yeah, it's pure bliss. and yeah, we can all do it. But I still have this kind of thing that presses at me that here we are as human beings. Why is that? We're here for a journey. We're here to have those tactile experiences. We're here to experience ourselves. And as we do, we are sending information into creation, and creation is expanding because of, because of our experiences, you know? So,
right.
So it, as easy as it would be to stay in that state of consciousness, on the other hand, we have a life to live and to live well or not, or whatever we want to do with it. It's our free will. So there's that thing going on as well. But yes, I think it comes to a point, and at least it did for me, where you learn to marry your divinity and your humanity so that, you know, you're always tapped into the divine, but at the same time, you're having a human experience. Mm-hmm. And you can blend the two together as long as you choose to embody, you know, embody that and be what you intend and be unconditional. You know, it can really work. And
but don't we have a chance to get off the wheel of incarnation to complete the human experience and own it all as wisdom? I mean, I think that's why we're here, not to keep going
absolutely.
On.
Absolutely. And yes, we can finish our karma and a million other things. My mm-hmm. point is, Ellen, it is that I hear so many people say, I'm tired, I want to go home.
Right.
And they decide that they finished all their karma. They don't know whether they have or not, but they decide they have.
Well, if they if they're tired and want to go home, that means they haven't finished it. You know.
Exactly. But people stop living because they think they can just ascend by doing nothing.
Rantha, who was my teacher, called that divine suicide, and that doesn't help anybody.
Yeah. No, right. It doesn't. And so I just want to make the point that, yep, it's possible to ascend. Yep, we can do it, and we can go anytime we want. Mm-hmm. But we do have this life to live.
Well, yes, and that's what I learned. Ascension comes from a life well lived, and not by wanting to escape the earth plane.
Exactly. That's the point I was trying to make.
You know, it comes only by
sitting on your toy, sorry. But it's not about escaping life. It's about learning, you know, how to live it to its fullest.
Exactly. Living the fullest in the moment with all those bleed-throughs of realities and opening our brain capacity to take in as much possibility as can be. And then I think the lighting, the igniting of that pineal center comes online because we have owned the human experience. I mean, it's not an easy thing because there's a lot to experience here. But once we do, once we're at peace with the human incarnational experience and enjoy, that's when the cells of our body seem to ignite and take us to another plane of possibility. That's what makes sense to me. It's not about just leaving and wanting to ascend. So I totally agree with what you're saying. And yeah, we're here to live as openly and as fully as we possibly can, and develop as well these more subtle senses that you're talking about and that you're doing in your seminars. So I'm happy you're out there, you know, telling people that there's more to the human experience, because it's all human in a way. It's human. So let's just wrap up, because there's so much we covered, but I also want to tell people about your website, spiritlight.com, L-I-T-E. What else do you have coming up for yourself besides the expo?
Oh, where do I start? Well, I'm going to be in Lynnis, Massachusetts for the Seven Hills Health Expo with Patch Adams the weekend of the 15th of April. And then the following, let's see, two weekends after that, I'm going to be in Albuquerque at the Wake Up Now conference, and then I'm going to be at the Evergreen. By the way, the Wake Up Now conference is offering 2-for-1 tickets It's a special. Just go to search Wake Up Now online or go to my website. There's a link there on my schedule page. And then I'm going to be in the Festival of Enlightenment in Colorado near Denver early June. And I've got a crop circle tour coming up in July in England. And I'm gathering souls for 2012. We're going to be standing on top of Machu Picchu as the shift occurs, the actual alignment. And I'm very excited about that. And I've got a million other things in the works. And I also have an internet radio show on Wednesday nights at 6:30 Pacific, 9:30 Eastern, called Cosmic Particles. And it's on the Awakening Zone at awakeningzone.com. So all of this, as you said, Ellen, is on my website at spiritlight.com.
Well, do you think the crop circles are coming from one specific consciousness, or is it a collective that's trying to wake us up? What's your theories about them?
My greatest sense, my greatest inner knowing, is that these are interdimensional communications that are trying to get our attention, that are showing us things that we need to know and remember because we've forgotten or we don't know yet, that have to do with all kinds of things, including technologies. They're sending us mathematic formulas. They're sending us astronomical information. They're even sending us pictures of the interior of particle accelerators for clean energy and many other things. These are being done interdimensionally. They're being done with energy, which is, by the way, also color, sound, and harmonics. And so everyone is right, pretty much, when depending on what you want to call it. But they're totally interdimensional communications. There are others in other realities who are trying to assist us. And again, it's kind of like with the pyramids in Egypt. You know, everybody thinks they're so cool and they're such a massive accomplishment. They're so busy being awed by it, they're missing the point. So we really need to pay attention to what's being said. Yes, some of them are fraudulent, but not most of them.
And, I agree. Yeah. I've been in those crop circles, and I've had real beautiful healing energies happen in one last year, particularly there was a five-pointed star one, and I just this whole wave.
Well, I remember that. That was beautiful.
Were you there last year? Yes.
No, but I saw the pictures of it.
Oh, that was amazing.
I'm trying to keep up with what's going on with them.
I know. It's really should be on the front page of every newspaper, you know?
Seriously.
But any final words, anything you'd like to leave people with as a kind of like nudge to help those just awakening?
Yeah. We have it all. No one else has it for us. Stop looking outside, trust yourself, and be what you intend. You don't have to fix yourself. You're already perfect. It's just your perception that needs to change if you don't believe that. And as long as we are who we are, we be what we intend, then it's contagious. And if we live by example, we are the shift. We're the shift in living color, and we are, you know, everything that we seek. So just remember that, because so many people have so many messages right now, and there are a lot of negative things going around online. I see that a lot, and a lot of negative messages. Don't fall into that. Don't get into the drama. Know the truth. The truth is we are the consciousness within the living one, and we have the power to create whatever outcome we intend. And that is enough to be said.
Yeah, no, I like that. And it's about, I think, exploring the unknown and trusting ourselves that we do.
Exactly.
We're here to wake up to the unknown. Something new is filtering into our human consciousness, and we're awakening to that. And it's very exciting times. Isn't it very exciting for you?
It's fabulous. It's fabulous. You know, we're our own limitation. You know, we can take this awareness that's coming to us as far as we want, or we can stop it any time we want. The thing that we need to remember, that it is our experience, and we're in control of it, at least, you know, to the degree that if it gets to be too much, step back, take a little time out. It's okay, get grounded. You don't have to become a victim of your own gifts. And that's another thing that I see a lot of and that I like to address, because they're not gifts. It's who we are. Mm-hmm. It's who we've always been. We just forgot for a while. And now we're remembering.
Yes, we are remembering. And thank you, Dr. Meg, for being a guest and remembering yourself. You know?
My pleasure.
And Meg will be at the Seven Hills Health Expo in the Berkshires, April 15th to the 17th. Really come down. It's a beautiful place there in the Berkshire Mountains. Go to sevenhillshealthexpo.com to make a reservation. And I've been talking to Dr. Meg Blackburn-Losey, the author of Children of Now, The Secret History of Consciousness, and many more to come. Thanks again, Meg.
My pleasure. Thanks, Alan. Take care, everyone.
Thank you. And this is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. If you want to reach me, check my website, newrealities.com, and email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. Thanks for listening.